It's time to step into the Coming Out Lounge, a cool, safe space to be true to your sexual self, with your host, Rick Clemens. Rick has helped hundreds of people come out of the closet, and now each week he's bringing you cool insights for loving and accepting yourself, boosting your self-confidence, and living a guilt-free, purpose-filled life on the other side of the closet doors. Cuddle up with yourself and get ready for heartwarming coming out stories, ideas for living authentically, and tips for being fully self-expressed. Now here's your host, Coming Out Coach Rick.
Hey, 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 Closet Busters. It is time once again to step out, step up, and step into living your powerful truth. And I have to say, I'm not going to lie to you, if you were listening to the last episode, you know that we were getting into some really deep truth talks. My guest, Emily Reese, is a straight spouse who found out her husband was gay. Her life changed, her children's life changed, and everything in her world got pretty much turned inside out, upside down. And we kind of left it in the last episode when she was talking about what life was like when she finally started to get this concept of, oh my gosh, this isn't just about him being gay. This is about discovering who I am. And I have to tell you, as a coming out coach, this is one of those spaces that not only the gay spouse starts to see themselves in a new light, but their spouse, their heterosexual spouse. And I don't care if you're gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender, whatever this is, because I've had some clients who've gone the transgender route. This moment of really seeing yourself is actually reflected back to your spouse and them seeing themselves. And when they see themselves, they can start to see you as well. And I think this is a very great space that we came to the end of the last episode, where Emily was about to share what it looked like, felt like, and what she began to discover about herself when she finally saw that the coming out process was shining a big old spotlight on who Emily was. So Emily, when we left the last episode, I just about took the words right out of your mouth about, and you started to see yourself clearly, but it's kind of where we were. So you were in the heart of that, talking about, you know, as Devin was coming out, suddenly you got confronted with, oh my God, who am I? Mm-hmm. That must have been like almost a blindsided moment, I would expect, that you didn't expect in this part of the journey.
No, right. I think that ultimately, you know, to speak generally, I've always been a pretty strong individual. And I was also in a space where I adhered very closely to what I perceived as the Christian wife principles. Mm-hmm. And so I was a strong person, yet I was a submissive wife, which can mean a lot of things to a lot of people. But Devin and I were partners. We were good together.
Yep.
You know, I thought that there was this certain role in this way I was supposed to be. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of that shattered. I had to find my voice. I had to learn how to set boundaries. I didn't really understand how to do that. And that was a tough one. It was a really tough one. And the first time I set a really strong boundary, I actually will refrain from the details because there are other people involved. And so I want to honor, I don't want to, you know, call them out. But
sure.
Basically, I was like, it's this or that. And I knew I needed to set it. And I came to that conclusion on my own. And I think it was something that my counselor was kind of trying to get me towards. But ended up like, I just had an epiphany. This is what I need to do. Mm-hmm. And it came down to it, and he couldn't uphold that boundary. Mm-hmm. It was the most painful. Mm-hmm. It was almost more painful than finding out he was gay, because mm-hmm. I actually had to follow through. Mm-hmm. And I had to find the strength that I didn't even know I had. And it had consequences that I didn't want, really. Mm-hmm. My desire was to stay with him. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot about myself and how strong I really was. And I think that's probably, I mean, a lot of people go through whatever, you know, crisis in life they go through, sure. They find out how strong they are. But I think straight spouses are forced into that pretty quickly and they either sink or swim. And I see a lot of them swimming, and I'm proud of people who find that place. You know, I had to give up caring about what I thought our fellowship of people that we were a part of. I had to stop worrying about that. I had mm-hmm. to be like, no, this is the right thing. I mean, it wasn't just a boundary I had to set for myself. It affected everyone.
Sure.
And I stuck with it. And that was a huge thing. And it took me a couple more years to really find my voice.
Well, and I think this boundary piece is huge in so many ways. And I'm going to go back and forth over the fence with this one because it's stuff that I've guided people through. So there's boundaries to be set about how much you share. So maybe the first time a spouse says, well, okay, so are you dating somebody? That may be their attempt to try to be, okay, I'm trying to move forward. I'm trying to embrace this thing, right? And some people, like me, are like, oh, wow, they're embracing this. Oh, yeah, I am, and we did this. Okay, all they did was ask if you're dating somebody, okay? Mm-hmm. So there's a boundary. However, the boundary goes in reverse, too, where I learned, and it became very painful, because I think a lot of people who come out, at the heart and the soul of many of them, not all of them, because I've seen some real assholes and jerks go the other direction, they want to do what's right. They want to do what they can in the best way that they can. I'm not saying they're going to get you the alimony you want. I mean, you know, there's all sorts of layers to this whole thing. But at the heart of who most of them are, the guilt and shame is so heavy that they want to do whatever they can. But when they do that, then suddenly a lot of times an expectation gets set that, okay, well, they're always going to do that. So then there's where a boundary's got to get drawn too. Okay, yes, I'm going to be this. I'm going to give you because I feel guilty. But it's really hard when that starts to become the tone to say, well, wait. We're now 5 years into this. This doesn't make sense that I should be giving this much. So, for instance, I have a couple of clients who they're still living together and they're feeling very trapped because, okay, well, how do I do this? I don't have any life now. But they did it because it was the right thing to do. So now they're having to navigate the boundary. And what both spouses don't get is that boundary is really hard to navigate now. So I think this is where there's that juggling act that you're kind of referring to. Okay, well, we did this, but oh, wait, now how do we do this? And I think when we come to the boundaries that we set, my personal advice would be go for the boundary because it's going to be healthy, number one. But make sure as you set that boundary that when you set it from a space of as much clarity in that moment that you can. Because if you set a boundary, because if you set a boundary out of anger and hatefulness and I'm going to show you, I hate to say it, but karma is a bitch. And that boundary will come back and it will bite you big time.
It will. It will.
And I think that's kind of what you were alluding to without saying it exactly that way.
That's right. I remember one time Devin said something. I don't remember the conversation entirely, but it was the general notion I had. Oh, man, I was really angry at him. I mean, it was after we decided to get a divorce, and I was still in this very angry space. And it would flip-flop. Sometimes I'd be like, oh, can I miss you? And then the other part would be like, ah!
Right, you know? Yeah, get out. I don't want to ever see you again.
And so I think I was on a roll with the anger space, and I know that I said some very ugly things. I probably used the word faggot. I probably said some really, really nasty things. Now, it felt good in my anger, but he actually had to say, you know what? I don't need to take this. And I was like, oh, you're right. Okay. And that's actually at the point where I started writing emails because I couldn't control my tongue very well. So, you know, it's, again, I hate even using that word, by the way, but now.
Well, but it's a reality. I mean, let's think about this. I mean, I'm 53. When I was growing up, that was the blueprint that got set. So that word was part of the dichotomy of what it meant to be homosexual. So whatever's in our blueprint DNA from our societal parental upbringing, it's there. I mean, it was just a couple of years ago, and I hate to admit this, but this because I'm very transparent, that I came about two sentences away from using the N-word on somebody because they had pushed my button so freaking hard, and I am the last person that would ever do that. But there's some blueprinting, and it got to that point. So I guess what I would like to say to what you're sharing right now is it's going to be okay to go that route because you need to. You need to release that.
Yeah.
Now, how and where you release it is going to even determine how effective that release is.
Right.
You brought up in the last episode about, you know, whether you do it in front of a counselor or something on one of the other subjects we were talking about. I actually think sometimes it wouldn't be a bad thing to have that mediator person sitting there and almost like, okay, guess what we're doing today? Gloves off. You guys get to say whatever you need to say to each other, but we're doing it in this beautiful container. We're going to be here and I'm going to, quote, mediate this so that we make sure, A, you're heard, B, you're seen, and however this gets unpacked, it's done where when we walk out of here an hour from now, hour and a half from now, whatever it is, that you may have residuals of how you feel and what happened, but we're going to do this in a controlled environment.
Yeah.
And I don't think a lot of people give themselves that permission to do that either.
That's right. And, you know, I think that comes with just age, wisdom, maturity, doing those kinds of things, discovering who you are, discovering what your own limits are. You know, and again, there's not a single straight spouse that I've ever met that has done things perfectly. So we're human. And you
but I think I think what you just said is worth repeating, that a straight spouse or a gay, bisexual, lesbian, transgender spouse has ever done that's been done perfect. It doesn't matter what the gender, sexual orientation is. None of us have done it perfect. So that's a good place to start. We're not going to do this perfect because this is a very charged environment that we're dancing in.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think that if there were messages that the straight spouse could get out to the LGBTQ community, or, you know, even if their ex-spouse or, you know, they're in a mixed orientation marriage, you know, if there were things that the straight spouse could say, that's what I want to make sure and get out, which we've already done a lot of. But ultimately, it comes down to just don't forget that just because you've come out, there's still a whole bunch of stuff that we're going to need help with. Getting through, you know, that actually could be as simple as understanding how to buy a car on your own. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
but managing the finances, you know,
Don't leave them in the dust.
Right.
And, you know, if you have kids, good Lord, it's so complicated when you have kids, but it's so beautiful as well. And here's why I say that is because your kids take cues on how they're going to look at you and your ex on how you handle it.
Well, it's putting the blueprint together for how they're going to do in their relationships.
They are. And it's so tempting to get angry and say things about your spouse. I mean, this is even a part for anyone who's getting a divorce.
Absolutely.
I have learned the hard way.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I say that.
You never stop. But you never stop coming out. And you never stop learning as a divorced person how to navigate these waters. It just...
That's true. But one of the things that, you know, kept me from feeling regret. Those times when that would creep in, because I did. And I think a lot of straight spouses think, well, why didn't you tell me? And I could have gone, I wouldn't have had my kids. I love the crap out of my kids. Mm-hmm. I would do anything for them. And if I hadn't have met him, if I had found out before, I never would have married him. Or I might have anyway, honestly, just because I was just did not want to believe things like that. But I wouldn't have had my kids. Mm-hmm. We wouldn't have had our kids. My parents, his parents, wouldn't have known the joy of those kids in their lives. And it is actually oftentimes the one thing that kept me from going over the edge during those times was my kids.
It just helps. I agree 100%.
And I'm thankful for that.
I'm curious about this piece of, if you could just say some of the things you want the LGBTQ community to really hear. I'm going to say that sounds a little bit weird to me because I know it's that community, but I think what it is if there's anything you could say to someone who is struggling with, I don't know if I'm gay, I know I'm gay, but I'm still going to go play the role, because I think that's who you're really wanting to talk to, because that's who I want to talk to. You know, I want to talk to those people who are like, you're about to take that step. Consciously or unconsciously, and I've gotten into some debates about, I think much of what happens is very unconscious because of the pressure that's been put on by society and faith and all this sort of stuff.
And those things are real.
They are real. And anybody who, and I got into a Twitter argument with somebody not long ago, a straight spouse, she just like, if you knew that, you shouldn't have done this. I'm like, you're not me. You're not standing in my shoes. I get what you're saying, and I can't understand your perspective either because I'm not standing in your shoes. But to just blatantly across the board lay one ultimatum down that if you knew, it's like you don't know. It was 30 some odd years ago when all this was going down. A whole different world. Now, I will be the first in this day and age, and I've actually worked with some younger people recently, who don't have any deep faith ties, who have more cultural ties to why they're still moving forward, I'm pretty blunt with them saying, okay, I just want you to realize you're making a very conscious decision, not a choice to be gay, okay? Don't misread what I'm saying here, folks. You're making a conscious decision to enter into this relationship. Mm-hmm. What I want you to be very cognizant of as your coach, I'm not endorsing what you're doing, I want you to make sure that what you're getting from this relationship right now is as clear as it can be for you, understanding that this is what you're doing and you know what you're doing. If that's what you know what you're doing and you want your best avenue to being solid around this, then I will help you do that. Doesn't mean I'm endorsing what you're doing. My role is to help my client get to the best possible place they can be in. It's right. only happened twice in the last 6 years that I've actually seen somebody go, I'm still walking through that doorway and walking down that aisle because the pain to disappoint my family. And it's been interesting because one case, as far as I know, and I don't stay too deeply in contact with clients afterwards because they choose to move on and that's great. And they're baked. They can go be good little gingerbread boys and girls and do their thing. This one, I know for sure that he has held to his commitment. Okay. Which I think is, I'm going to say good because that's a judgment. Good for him. It's working for him. And this is where we kind of draw that beautiful line that you and I have already talked about. What works for you works for you.
I think the thing that I would say to that is, did he, I'm assuming it was a guy.
Yeah, it was a guy.
Tell his soon-to-be spouse. And did she go in eyes wide open?
In this particular case, yes.
Okay. All right. Well, you know, at that point, what can you do? And exactly. Honestly, there actually are a lot of straight spouses who knew that their spouse had this. But
back to what we talked about, I think it was in the last episode. I don't think because of the way media covers this stuff, I don't think the world at large realizes how many people are living in mixed orientation marriages that it is known that they are living in a mixed orientation marriage. A spouse comes out, they make the decision, they work together, they stay together. It's much more common than I think the average Joe, if we were to pull somebody aside on the street and saying, you know, the numbers are kind of hard to get to, but I can tell you, I would say the numbers I've seen, at least somewhere between 20 to 50,000 marriages in the U.S. are making this work. And that's probably a very low estimate.
Well, you know, what it comes down to let me bring it back to, you know, the example you gave of your past client. Mm-hmm. So what I liked about your article that you had written in the HuffPost was the stuff that you wrote in there about why a person continues down a heteronormative path, even though they are not, whether they realize it or not, is because of those very reasons. And that is a reality. And that actually is something that a lot of straight spouses try to understand when a spouse comes out. Now, I think that when it comes down to media, again, we need to be talking about what that could look like for someone who decides to enter into that anyway, because there are a lot of, unfortunately, still stigmas that cause people to stay in a closet and go deeper into it and find ways to actually cover.
Yeah. Let's just look at the current, you know, and I don't usually bring politics into my discussion, but I think it's very poignant in this discussion. So let's just look at the current political scene.
Okay.
The Republican platform has a lot of LGBTQ issues that are going to be, quote, attempt to be stripped away if it were to actually come into being, so to speak. So you're in the closet, married, but you'd really like to come out. You'd like to go live that life that you want. But on all fronts, when you see something like that, it's, you're going to become a second-class citizen if that happens.
That's right. It's a scary process.
Tell me why that person would go, okay, I'm going to come out because...
Tell to the no. No, yeah. I'm not coming out.
Yeah, exactly. And I think this is where the charge like really happens. I completely understand. Well, no, I don't like to use that term. I can feel for the straight spouse who's like, you screwed me. I get that piece.
Yeah.
But then when you look at the other side of that equation and go, yes, and if he comes out or she comes out or they come out as trans, bi, whatever, bi's a little bit different because I'm trying to figure out, you know, how they fit sometimes in this equation with the laws and everything because it could go either direction for them. But really, you're going to be told you can't get insurance. That person you want to fall in love with, you're going to have your marriage taken away that just got... it's a really deep thing. And then suddenly, and this is why I'm on my soapbox lately about this, this political season is actually causing what you and I are talking about right now. I guarantee it. It is causing people to go, screw it. I'm getting married. I'm going to play the game and I'm going to go into it. And I'm afraid if we continue down this path and if a Republican, you know, if the platform were to go through, I think we'd start to see this happen and we'd see a whole new resurgence of I'm getting married. I'm playing the game. Blah, 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 blah.
Well, I mean, let me wrap up that political thing. And then I want to get back to something that you said is, you know, Mike Pence alone was trying to sign in basically the numeration clause. He did not want that in his state where, you know, LGBTQ protections. He's actually trying to make a law that kept that from happening.
Yeah.
And that was not very long ago. And I think people are kind of forgetting that. But but let me bring something back. I think what the straight spouse would want the world to know would be, yes, we understand that those are the things that keep a spouse in the closet or went there in the first place. But there is, and again, I'm saying this very pointedly, but I think that a lot of straight spouses experience this. It is never an excuse. Don't ever use it as an excuse. It might have been a reason because there's a difference between reasons and excuses. So when you give those reasons that you stayed, that you acted out, maybe you found, you know, partners outside of marriage that were of, you know, men, like say, you know what I mean? And you did that. If you say that in a moment where a spouse is trying to heal and you say, well, I couldn't help it, it will not work. It is a complete knockdown of what that straight spouse is trying to get through. To say there's a reason is one thing, but to use it as an excuse is another. And I think that a lot of straight spouses do experience that, or maybe that's their perception. I can't speak to everyone.
I like that you positioned it that way because I think it is, it's very clear. And you know, as I get beat up all the time, which I do, and I'm like, oh, this is what I get. This is what I do. So, you know, I'm going to get beat up. I think that's the piece that gets misinterpreted too, is people think we're using, some of us are using that as an excuse instead of the reason. This is the reason this happened. Now, I will say there's no excuse I made for going and hooking up with guys. There's no excuse for that other than I was going and hooking up with guys. I was getting that sexual energy filled that I wasn't getting, which was really not so much even the sexual energy. It was the intimacy. It was the thing that I was being, quote, deprived of. But I can't say that was an excuse. This was what was happening. So I think this beautiful way you position this, Emily, is what's the reality, the reason, and don't give me a bunch of excuses. And I remember this moment, probably it's one of the biggest moments in my whole journey with my ex, was when she said, I'm more upset at the infidelity than I am the fact that you're gay. You could have had the balls to tell me you were screwing around. That was a big moment for me. I'm like, aha, now we're getting somewhere. And I think that's probably, again, speaking from my experience, probably more common for the straight spouse that I feel like the infidelity, if somebody, you know, and there's a lot of people who don't, they don't go hook up, they don't do anything.
I know.
And then they come out and then it all starts happening. So I think there's these interesting layers that we just keep unfolding and unraveling that.
Well, and some straight spouses see, you know, the gay porn that they find or the Craigslist, you know, conversations, they see that as infidelity as well. And I understand that because you're seeking something outside of your marriage. So, you know, I think ultimately what I want LGBTQ spouses to hear is that as straight spouses, we need to see and feel humility coming from that. And again, I've shared that in my TED Talk, but I don't know what that's going to look like in a relationship because it is unique. And it's almost like forgiveness. Let's talk about forgiveness. So, you know, people talk about Christianity, talks about, you know, God forgives and forgets, right? As far as the East is from the West, you know, and he forgets. But the thing is, we're human. We can't do that. And so we may have to go through processes where we've felt that we've forgiven. Yeah. And then something comes up and then we have to do it again. And so that requires, unfortunately, more humility to be shown somehow to aid in that healing. Now, are there boundaries that need to be set up? Like we talked about earlier, sure.
Yeah.
But again, this isn't just a one time done. thing. Mm-hmm. This is something that you end up dealing with. I mean, I've finally gotten to the place in the last several years where I'm not like, if he hadn't have done this, I wouldn't be so broke. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm finally not in that place. It's like, no, I'm my own person. I chose to marry him too.
But I'm glad you're saying this because it reminded me of one of the questions I wanted to ask. And I've asked it different ways to different people, but I would love to get your perspective. So why is it that the gay, lesbian, bisexual, transgender piece is so charging when somebody could have been screwing around with someone else and the same thing could happen?
Right. So I hope I can explain this well. Really what it comes down to is we thought we were, as a straight spouse, mm-hmm. if we didn't know ahead of time that we were going into an mixed orientation, mm-hmm. we signed up to be in a heteronormative marriage, mm-hmm. period. And our entire marriage was really not that, and we didn't know. Mm-hmm. That's how we look at it. Mm-hmm. So that really is what it comes down to. It's almost like it's not just a betrayal of someone coming out. It's actually, wait a minute, I signed up to be with someone even if they cheated on me, better or worse, right? But this core of you was something I didn't know about. And I explain it like this in my own experience. The day that Devin came out, and I've shared this on other podcasts and different things, but the day that he came out, the first 2 hours was the most intimately close I had ever felt to him in the 9 years we were married. And that is because I finally knew all of him.
Yes.
And that is what I always wanted. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know it was missing. Mm-hmm. But unfortunately, it was also the breaking point mm-hmm. where it was the beginning of the end.
Yes.
And that was what was so painful.
And that's why I brought this question forward, and I'll give my interpretation of this.
Okay.
And mine's a little bit flippant, and I don't mean it to come off that way, but I think it makes it digestible.
Okay.
To me, yes, you couldn't see that piece of the person. You finally see the real person, and then there's a lot of other emotions that show up with. To me, the main reason that it's harder is because as a woman, you cannot compete with another man. As a man, you cannot compete with another woman. There's nothing you can do. There's no boob job in the world. There's no hairstyle. There's no 50 pounds you can drop. There's nothing you can do. Now, that's going to sound trite and flippant because I know some people would say, well, yeah, it's the same thing in a heterosexual marriage. I get it. But there is a piece of this of gender to gender. There is kind of, I can fight like hell and try to save this.
That's right.
And it's not only because of the boobs or whatever, it's there is that feminine energy, and I'm not saying that all women have it, but there's that feminine piece that they can go to battle just like a guy can go to battle and go, I'm going to fight this guy for my spouse. Now, that also has to get put into a container of, if they're already checked out, they're checked out, folks. So we can all try to do that. But it was when I was writing the book that I had kind of that epiphany of, wait, there's one thing that nobody can compete with. They can't compete gender to gender. It's never going to happen because that gender attraction is the thing that is what is causing this to unravel. That's the main thing. And you'll never be able to compete with that.
You're absolutely right. And I think both the stuff that I said and what you said are very, I'm guessing that most straight spouses who are listening will probably agree with that.
Well, and I will also say that the forgiveness and the humility piece, and trust me, as one who didn't practice that the way I could have many times, mm-hmm. is one of the biggest pieces that's missing. Mm-hmm. Especially, and I'm probably going to now get some hate mail from my guy listeners that are listening, but that's okay, boys. Buck it up and get over it. If you can't do this with some humility and do it in a way where at whatever point you can say, okay, I've humbled as much as I can. I'm down on my knees. I've done everything I can. If you can't do that piece, it's probably going to come back and haunt you in every relationship you have moving on. Because humility and asking for forgiveness, and I'm the worst offender of this because even in the last years, things have unraveled with my ex on different fronts. This is where we've gone to battle again. And then in little ways, I've asked for forgiveness. In little ways, she has. But you kind of have to show up in these arenas. You got to show up in the arena ready to be humble and ask for forgiveness. You know, this is why I love Brene Brown. It's like, if you can't come stand in the arena with me, you have nothing to say. You have no right to go there. But you got to be willing to do that. And I think that's the biggest piece for most. And I'm going to go to the side of the spouse, the female straight spouse. I think most women whose husbands come out, they would like to see this. However, and I do feel for the female perspective, I wouldn't be having you on this podcast if I didn't.
Of course.
However, don't say that's what you want and then be a total bitch.
Oh, no, I'm with you.
Because the two don't go together. You have a right to be a bitch to a certain point, but if you're going to ask for this and keep asking for this, I have a client right now who his ex-spouse is telling him he can't bring his boyfriend to the high school games and his girls don't want to be with him the first week of school. And when he goes and can ask his kids, like, they're like, we don't know what she's talking about. We have no idea. So this is
when it comes to two to tango, when I'm speaking from the straight spouse experience, of course, I'm seeing, I'm sharing what I have experienced with people too. But I also know.
Yeah. Well, I think it comes down to this thing opens up so many things for all of us. Back to what you and I talked about before or at the beginning of this episode, of what you started to see in yourself. Mm-hmm. Because when we go through these things, we suddenly start to see ourselves in a whole different light. This is like really big confession for me. I don't think I've ever said this. It wasn't until probably about halfway through doing these podcasts and writing the book that I really saw the cheating infidelity of my father and myself. And when I had that moment, it was like, oh, okay. And that moment showed up in a space in my life where it needed to, for my current relationship to like really go, okay, here's where we are and here's what we're doing. And it was very healing to finally have that moment. But I think many times we get into these spaces, and because we start to see ourselves, the way you see your spouse who's coming out is like a brand new glimmer. Mm-hmm. But then the way you see yourself is a brand new glimmer. And for the straight spouse, I would encourage you to remember that there's going to be pieces of you that starts to show up.
Yeah.
That I can guarantee you your ex-gay spouse has never seen either.
Oh, yeah.
So this is where the two to tango really comes full circle. So I have to say, Emily, I want to give you time to wrap this up, but this has definitely been one of my proudest moments of being a podcaster. You know, we both have said how important it is for the media, and I'm a small media guy, but the media to start having these conversations. I'm just really glad that we did.
I'm really glad that I reached out to you, and I originally reached out to you just to say, hey, does your ex-wife need any support? Because I didn't really find much support until several years after I had gone through all
this. Well, and again, back to why you brought up the media thing, and you and I talked about this off the air. This is why I think this is important. There's not a lot of support for the straight. I mean, yes, Amity Buxton has done a really great job with Straight Spouses Network. Mm-hmm. But there is not a lot of support in this arena for this work. There's not a lot of stuff from mixed orientation marriages. There's not a lot of stuff for the older spouses coming out that are going to go try to do this, and for the spouses who are in the middle of it. So the more that we can do this kind of work and we can have these kind of conversations, I am all for it. So I'd love for you to just like say the thing that you'd really like to say to kind of wrap this up and really leave your imprint on the listeners.
I'd like to say two things. One is that if I had my druthers and Emilytopia could happen, there would be a very strong and vocal, out there, transparent group of LGBTQ people who start a support group, not to rival, but to meld a bit with something like the Straight Spouse Network. Mm-hmm. Because I feel that even though things can't all be healed because we don't live in a perfect world, I would love to see more healing. And I believe that a lot of that can come from getting support for someone who is coming out and having the tools and the verbiage and the advice and the people. Because I do know some people who do some smaller groups, but I would love to see a larger group started. Yeah. That is an easy roll off the tongue, go-to group. I would love to see that. And then the last thing that I want to say is one of the things that was extremely meaningful for me, and it just happened right after my TED Talk. Devin was there for that. And he actually got up and spoke. He's running for Senate District 15 in Nevada. And he got up and spoke to a group of people at a gathering. And he told his story. And there were a couple things that I learned that were a little different, but not too much. But when he said, "We wouldn't be where we are without the strength and forgiveness and second chances that my ex-wife has given us." Mm-hmm. And that meant the world to me, mm-hmm. that acknowledgement. And those are the kinds of things I'm talking about when I say, I don't know what it's going to look like for your relationship, but it meant the world. And so I exist to heal as much as I can to aid, mm-hmm. you know, that's what I do as a teacher, as a parent. And, mm-hmm. and I'm just thankful for the opportunity to be on this show. Wow. For sure.
I'm just thankful that we had the universe align us in the way we did.
So this is probably one of the few times you will find me speechless. I have to say, these last two episodes with Emily have really touched me personally. Having been the spouse who came out to a spouse, she's really helped me understand even deeper how my wife must have felt. And I want to just say I'm so grateful for Emily having been here over the last couple of episodes. I think it was a perfect way to celebrate National Coming Out Day, to showcase someone with such a beautiful heart and soul to tell her story. And if you've enjoyed what you've been listening to, you know what to do. Give us some love, give us some rating and reviews wherever it feels comfortable for you. I'd also like to invite you to take a look at some of the options we have available for you to interact with me as the Coming Out Coach and become part of our family. Most of the options are listed right there on the right-hand side of the show page at the Coming Out Lounge. You can do some one-on-one work with me. You can buy the book. There's even a self-guided course, so check out all those things. But more importantly, I want to invite you to just keep coming back now that we're doing two shows a week, and every once in a while I'm even throwing in a third little bit of a show just to keep you going. I hope you find the guidance and the stuff that you need to really step into being who you are. So thank you once again for being a listener. We truly appreciate you. And with that, never stop stepping out, stepping up, and stepping into living your most powerful truth. I'm Rick Clemens, the Coming Out Coach and the host of the Coming Out Lounge, and we will catch you in just a few days.
You've just experienced the Coming Out Lounge. Go online to www.comingoutlounge.com to learn more. And tune in again next week for more stories and tips for being true to yourself.